what, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taken up that I had not bowed, and weeping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not.
Then gavest not.
Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound, and give him to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, thou that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I would reign over them, bring them hither and lay them before me.
Well, the thought we wanted to look at is occupy. Occupy till I come is what he told them. He had given them a charge. He gave each of them 10 pounds or a pound or whatever he gave them. He expected them to do something with it. The others had gone and they had exchanged it and made more. But the wicked servant just put it in a napkin and did nothing with it. I was thinking about our souls. When God has given us a charge, like the nobleman gave these men a charge, his servants a charge, God has given each one of us a charge. Every single person that comes into this world that reaches the age of accountability and know what God requires of them has been given a charge. And that charge is our soul. We have a responsibility for our soul. No one in this world will get by with that. I realize that everybody may not have the same level of understanding, but the level of understanding that God gives us is our responsibility, and we must watch. We must take care of the matters of our soul. Our charge is eternal. It's one that is going to affect our eternity. And so we need to take seriously the charge that God has given us. He said, occupy till I come. Until he comes, we have this charge. It is a daily charge. It is a daily responsibility. So we need to realize the seriousness of our soul and taking care of the matters of our soul. He will come back. And when he comes back, what will he find? Will he find us being diligent about the matters of our soul? Or will he find us careless and negligent? Let's go to 1 Kings 20, 38 to 40.
So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said to him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, then said the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed thee to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house, heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria.
You see, this man was given a charge. He was given a man to take care of. And he was told, don't let him go. Thy life for his life. If he gets away from you, thy life will be, you will lose your life, in other words. And so the man that had the charge got busy. He got busy here and there. And when he looked up, the man was gone. And so he had to lose it. According to the way this reads, his life was taken. It doesn't tell us exactly how, but his life for the life of the man. And it's the same way with our soul. Our soul is given to us. It's like the man. Our man is given to us to take charge of, to make sure that it doesn't get away. But we can get distracted. The devil will make sure that there are things in this life to distract us, to get our minds away from our soul and the things that's most important in our lives. And it'll be our life for his life. If that man gets away, we will lose our life in eternity. So we want to occupy. We want to take care of the man. That man is our soul. While there is time, while there's opportunity, we have to be watchful and prayerful. We have to be careful that we don't get caught up with the cares of this life and all the other things that the enemy would bring to distract us from the main goal that we must have in our life. It's not going to matter, all these things that we could have in this life, but what is going to matter is how we dealt with our soul. Let's go to Luke 21, verse 34 to 35.
And Jesus answered and said to them, the children of the world marry and are given in marriage. And take heed to yourselves, lest at this time your hearts be overcharged with surviving.
Surfeiting.
Huh?
Surfeiting.
Surfeiting and drunkenness and care of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that thou shalt come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
All right. Take heed. Be careful and watchful that we don't get caught up. That scripture said, I want you to read that first part where it says, take heed.
And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with
surfeiting
and drunkenness and care of this life, and so that they feast upon you unaware.
You see what's going to happen? We can get caught up with all the little busyness of life, the different things that happen. It says surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. There are many, many distractions. One of the distractions I have noticed is entertainment. The world gets caught up into entertainment where their minds are not focusing on the things of God. It's like it dulls your senses to God's dealings. But it says, be careful or take heed. And it says, and so that day come upon you unaware. Do you know the Lord comes in the time that we least expect? So we don't want that to happen to us. We don't want to be all caught up with fun. I mean, it's not that we can't have some enjoyment of life, but we don't want to let that just dull our thoughts of what we're about and why we need to be the things we need to do for our souls. Our souls need to be first and foremost in our life.
You know the definition of surviving?
Surfeiting.
Surfeiting.
I didn't look it up this time. I have looked it up before. That's why I didn't mention it. I will when I get down.
Okay. I'll look it up too when I get my phone back.
So we are responsible, and we have a serious responsibility. Sometimes people don't take life serious. I worked with lots of people, children, adults, and everything, and teenagers. And we were in vacation Bible school in Miami, and I noticed that almost all those teenagers had phones. And sometimes they would be doing something, doing an art project. And I saw this little girl, she's on her phone and she's trying to do this project and on her phone. Her mind was distracted. However, she finished it. That's not going to work with the Lord. He wants our full attention. He doesn't want part of it. He doesn't want us so concentrated on these phones that we cannot focus on him. And I know it's not just, it's children. I see some people have babies that get so attached to the phone that's their kind of their way to keep the baby quiet. But it's a bad habit, because if that grows up in that child, they'll be so focused on that. The Lord want to deal with it. They won't be as attentive to his dealing. Oh, let's realize the seriousness of the matter of our soul. Let's go to Psalms 119 and 109. Our soul is serious. It is the man that we don't want to let get away from us. We must occupy, be focused on the man, taking care of this man, our souls, and not let it go, not let him get away from us.
My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law.
My soul is continually in my hand. From birth to death, I realize there's a time that children are not accountable. But once they come to the age of accountability, until they leave this world, their soul is in their hand. We need to be careful. The things we say, the things we do, the things that we allow ourselves to get entangled with. We must not be entangled with these things of this life. We must wear this life as a loose garment. Yet we can do the things we need to do. That's not like we're going to sit and do nothing and just read our Bible and pray all day. But it should be our focus. It should be the thing that when we go from place to place and what we do, we're conscious of our soul's needs, of what God wants us to do or not to do. If we go to the store, yesterday we were traveling and I stopped by, somebody wanted some cane, so I stopped. And I ordered one thing. Two, because a drink and one of those little chicken fingers. They asked me about French fries, and I said, No. But when I got my food, they had French fries in it. And I couldn't leave because I did not pay for French fries. I looked on the receipt. I did not pay for it. So Sarah said, "You want me to go in there?" I said, "Yes." So I sent them back in there with the receipt and that. And I wanted it clear. I did not want to face God and those French fries come up before me. So therefore, I sent it back in there. Now, if they say you could have it, then that was okay. But I did not, I could not, my conscience wouldn't let me just leave and say, "Well, too bad, I got some free French fries." Couldn't do that. So we have to look at our soul as we go through life, the different things that we have to deal with. I've had something that I wanted to work with and clear up from the past, and it seemed like that thing keeps bothering me and I keep trying to do something about it. So I don't really know right now what to do. But whatever the Lord, however he makes it clear, that's what I have to do, because I want to face him with nothing between me and my Savior. All right, let's go to Matthew 16 and 26.
Matthew 16 and 26. "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?"
So you see, we could be very busy and gaining a whole lot of riches and different things, but what would it profit us for any single thing that we gain if we lose our soul? Our soul is continually in our hands. We have it to deal with. We can't ignore it. It is our responsibility, and it is a serious one. If we let the man get away, there's going to be serious consequences. We don't want to do that. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, somebody read that.
"Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil."
Amen. There's another scripture also that says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good." And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I don't know where it is. But God has shown us what he requires. And in that 14th verse, he said, "For he shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." This is why we have to take care of our soul. We need to put, you know, we need to set priorities in life. What is the most important thing? We need to take time and think of what is the most important thing in life, and then set that as our priority. And then all these other things will take care of itself. God will help us with the other things. But let's put Jesus, our souls, needs, and whatever, let's put it first. And then God will help us with everything else. Let's go now to John 5, 28 and 29. Because we don't want to lose out. We don't want to be at a loss. We don't want to die lost. We want to go to heaven. John 5, 28 and 29.
John 5 and 28. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation."
Did you see? It's coming. The time is coming, and it's swiftly coming, and we need to be ready. I was thinking about, you know, we think about how I've been meditating some, thinking, you know what? The Lord, one of these days, he's going to turn, just give up. And he's going to call the whole world into judgment. And I was thinking about, what is it? The cup of his indignation is going to be filled up. And as we look around us and we see all the wickedness and the things that people do, no doubt his cup of his indignation is getting filled up. But we don't want to wait till the last minute. Suppose he decide to come tomorrow. People will be crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them. Why? Because they didn't take care of the most important thing. But we want to do that. We want to take care of our souls first. So let's be careful. Let's be watchful. I was thinking, so what shall we do? There's a scripture in Acts where Peter was talking to these people and telling them about themselves. And then they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? When you tell me all of these things, what can I do or what shall I do? I'm telling you today, this is a very serious thing with me. We must make the things of God number one. We must. If we don't, we're going to die lost. And it is a sad state to be in. I had a friend in Dallas before I got married, and I was there as a missionary in Dallas. We were good friends, and I would take her to church. She would come to church with me. I'd have to rent buildings and things like to have service, but she would come, and she had children. And my last conversation that I remember with her, talking to her about the Lord, she said, Doris, I'm going to get saved. But, you know, I don't know if she ever did. I moved from that area. When I was over near her, she would get these migraine headaches and need me to run her to the hospital and stuff. And I would take her. I don't know, remember how many times. And so after I moved from over there, I think I lost her number. And so one day I said to myself, I'm going to go and see about Lyndia. I remember where she lived, so I went to her house. She wasn't there. So I left a note saying, this is, you know, Doris, and this is my number. And her husband called me. He said, Doris, Lyndia passed. He said, we tried to find you. We couldn't find you. He said, she got one of those headaches. And she passed. After she got to this time, they figured out what was wrong with her headache. She had some kind of tumor or something. They had never figured out before. She would just go. She'd have those headaches and she'd go to the hospital. But I'm saying, you know, let's don't wait till the last minute. Let's don't fool around and let something happen. Because it's a sad thing. It brings a lot of grief to the people behind us to know or not to be sure that we made it. So we want to live so that they could be sure, they could have consolation that we made it in. Now, I was thinking about, so what shall we do? We should, if we're not saved, we need to find a place. Don't have to be at the church. It can be. It should be when the Lord deal with it. But we can find a place in our homes, in our closets, somewhere to kneel down before God and take care of the matters of our soul. Let's take care of our account with God. That's the first thing. That's the first step. Asking God to forgive us for our sins and to take away our sins and to wash us and clean and to deliver us. God is a deliverer. If we have habits, if we have problems, he can deliver us and will if we will give it to him. And then from there, let's get busy. Let's not Let's not stop until we make heaven. Let's go to Isaiah 1:18.
Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Not sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, but the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Come now. Don't put off things. Maybe even if you have given your heart to the Lord and there are things that the Lord put his fingers on, don't put it off. Come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Not that, well, the preacher might tell it what the Lord said, but saith the Lord, let's reason with him. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be look like I can't get out of this. I'm just too down, far down in sin. Oh no, that's not so. Though your sins be as scarlet, he said he'll make them as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's good. God has nothing but good for us. The devil has evil things for us. The devil has a dark path for everybody that follow him. He has a dark path. Sometimes some people go deeper and darker than others, but he still has a dark path. And at the end, he has eternal damnation. That's his purpose. He's going there, and he's going to take as many people as he can. Eventually, the hell was meant for the devil and his angels, and there's coming a time when he's going to hell, and he's going to take as many as he can. I've heard people say, well, my friends will be there. There'll be no friends in hell because it'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All the evilness and the meanness and all you see in this world, without God, it is magnified. So it's not a place to want to go. So let's do all we can. Let's give our heart to the Lord. Let's let him make a change in us. I was thinking about 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. When we give over and give up and take care of this man, this soul, the Lord is going to make a change. You're not going to be the same. The same person that cursed and the same person that was mean and the same person that had ugly ways and ugly attitudes. It's not the same because God changes you. And if you have attitude problems, you need to go to the Lord and help him because those attitudes are ugly. It's not beautiful, it's ugly. And you need God to take away the bad attitudes. Things don't go your way. You show an attitude, speak harsh and unkind and all these things. We need God to help us to make a change in our life. But when we really repent, God changes us. Somebody get 2 Corinthians 7 and 11.
For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it brought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter.
So you see, when we repent of our sins and when we get saved, God makes a change in us. It says, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sorrow, what carefulness it wrought in you. And you're careful. You don't say the things. You can't just say anything anymore. I have my grands. Some of them are used to saying a lot of words. They catch it from their peers, I guess. And I have to get on to them and talk to them and tell them, don't use those words. Don't say this. But when you give your heart to the Lord, he makes a change, and you're careful. You can't just say anything like you used to could say. And it says, what indignation, what clearing of yourself. You remember Zacchaeus, I think. When he came down, what was he doing? He was clearing himself. He said, if I've taken anything, I will give fourfold. And Jesus said, this day has salvation come to thy house. That man had made a change. The man had met Jesus, and he repented, no doubt, in his heart. And now he's willing to clear. He's going to give. If he took something from somebody, instead of giving it just what he took from them, he's going to give them four times what he took. Say he was a tax collector, right? So he probably, was able to juggle those numbers where he put some of that money in his pocket. And so if he put some of that money in his pocket, say he took $100 from somebody, then he's going to give the they have to pay a certain amount, but maybe he raised it over what they had to pay. And so he's going to give them 400 for every 100. That's what that means. So at any rate, he start clearing of himself. He start giving back things that he took, know that he was willing to. He said, what indignation. You don't like the things of the devil anymore. He changes you to where those things are not cute anymore. They're not funny. You have distaste for the wrong things. And say, yea, what fear? Fear of God comes on your heart when you turn your life over to him. What vehement desire. You begin now to desire the things of God and just really are passionate about living for God and doing the right thing. Yea, what zeal and what revenge. You want to get revenge against the devil. You have no appreciation for what he does to you or to anyone else. So we want to be careful. There's lots of things we can do. We must watch and pray, and we must be sober. We must be careful not to allow the devil to trap us and to trick us to do things that we should not do. I have a few more scriptures I want to read. 1 Thessalonians 5:6.
1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
That's right. People are going to sleep. They're not paying attention to what they're doing and the effects of what they're doing and how it will land them in a place that they don't want to be. But we don't have to. When we give our heart to God and we live for him, we want to be watchful and prayerful and not sluggish and sleepy and lazy. One scripture said, I went by the field of the slothful, and this field was all grown up. That's what happens when you're not being careful and when you're not being watchful. You'll find this little thing you said or that little thing you did, And pretty soon the field is all grown over. Just like when we walk out here and they don't cut the grass, guess what you get? Bunch of those little stickers, right? But we don't want that to happen with us. We want to watch this man. We don't want to let things slip. This Hebrews 2:1. We don't want to let anything slip. We don't want to let the man get away from us.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip.
You read the next verse.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
Yes. So we don't want to let these slip. We don't want to let the man get away. I have several more scriptures, but I feel like that I'm finished. So I desire your prayers. Let's occupy till he comes.